RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Welcome to Code Delicious with Dr. Mike. You are in for another episode of some culinary CPR with myself and the incomparable chef, Luca Paris. You know him, you love him. He owns the Food Network. He's been on there conquering his competition left and right. He is a restaurateur of the year in New Hampshire, where he owns both Luca's Mediterranean Cafe and the shop right next door, where you can buy all the goodies that he fixes up in his restaurant. He's been on Ciao Italia, as well as a bunch of other shows. My good friend, Chef Luca, you got a special treat for us today. Tell us what it is, because I just can't say it the way you do.
What's up, Doc? How you doing?
We're
going to be talking chicken capricciosa today, and it's basically a pan-seared or grilled chicken, however you want to do it. You could do it anyway, but what the thing about it is this kind of diced tomato, arugula, red onion, olive oil salad that goes on top, and that really becomes a little bit more of the sauce than than anything, and it's just fresh, bright, vibrant, and you could play with this what I call garnish for the top for the capricciosa. It's basically a salad on top of a chicken instead of a chicken on top of a salad. It's a paillard or a medallion of chicken that's either grilled or pan-seared, however you want to do it. And then there's this fine diced salad over the top of it. And I just love it. I love also the versatility of it. We'll get into when we talk about making the salad. You can put olives, you can put mozzarella, you can put anything. But the idea is just how just fresh it is. And what we go back to all the time is just that. How do you make these things so they taste different? I mean, chicken and a salad is everybody's doing it. But how do you make it so it looks different, feels different? And you know what? And you know the secret. If you make it look pretty enough, you could take chicken and salad on a menu like mine and charge a couple extra dollars for it.
Well, I absolutely love this. Everyone out there, the millions listening, you did not hear that. You know, what I love about this, to me, this is a real strong sample. I mean, if you had to say, well, what is Italian cooking? What is the Mediterranean diet? It's just boom. This is it. You know, because it just yells freshness. And as you said, you know, with that little salad, you know, don't go buy freeze-dried arugula just because it says arugula on there. If you've got, you know, absolutely fresh, delicious baby kale from your farmer's market, you know, so you want to, I think you want to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you want to get, you know, what's fresh and flavorful and not just stick to, you know, the ingredients because it says that on the recipe.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing and exactly what you're talking about. Even growing up in the Bronx in the late 70s, early 80s, mostly late 70s because my grandmother would take me around shopping and we'd go to all the stores that had the stuff. We'd go to the fishmonger, we'd go to the butcher, we'd go to the produce guy. And even back then, it was so different, right? It was, even that produce was better. Then it started changing. And now with farmers markets, you do the same thing. It's you go out and you go shop, and what's there, that's what you work with. She never said to me, or even my mom would never say, this is what we're having for dinner two nights from now because I just bought this stuff. We'd go out and buy the stuff we're going to do for tonight and maybe tomorrow because she'd use some leftover. That's the way to do it. So the big thing about this recipe, like you said, it's the guidelines for it. It has nothing to do with the ingredients. You don't find the arugula. Like for now, at the farmer's market locally here, we had baby bok choy, right?
Oh, beautiful.
I did, just on our lunch today, I did grilled baby bok choy with this kind of twist. Using grilled baby bok choy, I did that wedge salad concept.
Locally smoked
bacon, you know, a local blue cheese dressing, and then some ripe tomatoes that we roasted, that kind of thing. So I was originally going to do it with romaine, but I was at the farmer's market, found this beautiful bok choy. I was like, oh, I'm going to do it with that. That's the way you should go into the day. Have an idea what you want to make. Look at this thing and say, I'm going to do arugula and tomatoes and onion. But if you get to the farmer's market and the greens, some type of mixed green that they have there, or this fresh something different, utilize that instead. And, you know, if there's endive, if there's radicchio, if there's something you want to bring to this party, bring it to it. I just give you the outline. You fill in the blanks.
And people, you know, don't realize, you know, that is sort of how recipes, you know, actually came to be. They weren't these things written in concrete that you absolutely had to have this ingredient or that ingredient because you couldn't get them. So in my book that's coming out this fall, Ancient Eats, we actually explore the cuisine of ancient Greece, the origin, one of the origins of what we consider today the Mediterranean diet. And these ancient recipes would say, like, take a fish, cut off the head, gut it, put some olive oil on it, stuff it with cheese. And that was a recipe, you know, because they expected, you know, that, well, what kind of cheese am I going to use? Well, it depends on what you can get locally in your region. And if you're a chef, these things were expected. You know, part of it was that they didn't want to give away secrets, but part of it was that they knew it was going to vary by locale. They knew it was going to vary by season. So that's what a recipe was. A recipe was always a guideline, but we've kind of morphed into, you know, I have to cook it exactly like Bobby Flay does. So I got to spend $9.99 for, you know, 1 ounce of Bobby Flay's, you know, secret spice blend. So it'll taste exactly, you know, like it does when I had it in a restaurant. And of course it never does because you're using different ingredients, you know, from what they get.
I'm looking at the recipe that I sent you and that we're putting up, that we're showing people. And the funniest part about this recipe is I don't think I've made it the same way that I wrote it down the first time since I started doing it. And literally it's because of whatever I have around me. If it's not just a local ripe tomato and I have some fire roasted tomatoes, I do it there. I have some sun-dried tomatoes, I would do it that time with that. I would just to play and just see different flavors. I've added balsamic vinegar to this dish because you know how much I love having vinegar in dishes. So it's fun. It never gets old to look at a recipe and play with it every single time. And you could always find something new.
Why don't you walk us through it so folks can get forgive the pun, but you know how I love bad puns. Get the flavor of this particular recipe. Because, folks, this is something, you know, you can go out and create tonight for dinner tomorrow. Just take a walk through your local farmer's market or your market, see what's fresh and local. You know, pick up some nice organic local free-range chicken. Or, you know, if you happen to have quail or something like that, you could certainly use that. So let's start with this garnish that's going to go on top. So what do we do?
Okay, so the ingredients for the garnish are couple of cups of arugula. I like baby arugula. If you can, again, we have Duttonberry Farms locally that has some beautiful baby arugula growing right now. Cup of ripe tomatoes, about a half red onion diced, 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. With this, because it's a salad, I usually don't say cook with extra virgin olive oil. You could cook with an olive oil, not extra virgin. The extra virgin is what you're going to use for a finish, using in fresh salads. You want that flavor to pop out. Get a good quality one because you don't need a lot for it to taste great, and then salt and black pepper, and I like kosher salt, real salt, a wonderful salt to utilize if you haven't used it, and I'm a big fan now as well. Then we take that garnish, and then I do a fine chop on it. It's almost like a chopped salad, and that's the big key to this. You're not doing a big salad, because that's the first thing you think of is, dude, you just threw together a salad. You know, you could put some vinegar in there. Really, is that what you just told us to do, is throw a salad together?
I'm paying how much for this?
Exactly. Now, all I have to do is chop it up fine because it almost macerates in itself. The tomatoes, the you know, the acidity and the sweetness from the tomatoes kind of coordinates with, and the arugula wilts into everything. The red onion pops. If you're not a big red onion fan, or I've done pickled red onion recipes, if you like to do something a little more pickled, because red onion, if you get an older one, it might be too tart. Go with shallots. It makes it a little bit lighter.
Something the folks can do for onion too is once you cut and peel it, soak it in cold water for about 15 minutes, and that helps deal with the enzymes that produce those really strong flavors. And then just take it out, and you'll have mellowed your red onion. So that's a kind of quick, easy fix for folks that find, like you said, red onion can be a little potent.
Have you, and I've just noticed this recently in older recipes, and I don't know if you've run across it, have you seen that a lot of older, at least Italian recipes I'm finding, use milk with red onion to kind of, they put it in cold milk? Have you ever seen that part?
You know, I use that. I do the onion and clove thing when I'm starting my bechamels, but I had not seen soaking the milk, the onion in milk. But you know, that makes sense because as I learned from some time in the southern United States, they would soak the catfish. And any sort of bottom dwelling fish that can get a little muddy tasting, the milk has proteins that will bind out that particular compound and make your catfish taste really clean. Because some catfish you get, it's kind of like, ugh, this kind of tastes like the bottom scum of a pond, and it's because that's where they live. just like you know, jambon can pick up these wonderful flavors of eggcorn. Right. These bottom dwellers can sometimes taste a little muddy. So anything that that sort of dwells in that area, if you soak it in milk, there's a particular protein that the milk will bind out and just make it taste really, really fresh.
Mike, the only thing I'm gonna
maybe
get...
it works for onion.
The only thing I'm going to get from this show is that you made an analogy with catfish tasting muddy and what really good pigs eat. And I'm like, seriously, like, how did that just happen? That's awesome. Anyway.
Well, but it's true. It's true. You know, and it's something we should always pay attention to, because a lot of time people, you know, don't pay attention to what they put in their body. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm a machine. I'm a world-class athlete, at least in my head. And, you know,
right.
I'm going to metabolize everything and burn it to cinders. But, you know, you're eating that ham because that pig ate a lot of acorns and the flavors got into the very flesh. You know, the same thing with that catfish. It took on the flavors of the environment. So, you know, we're children of nature here, and our bodies work no differently. So all this stuff that you're putting in your body, it's going to accumulate there. It's going to stay there. That's why it's so important to put quality ingredients, into the foods we eat.
It goes right back to, you know, we're going to talk about chicken, the type of chicken you pick up in a second. You know, if you're not going to find a local organically raised or locally raised or hormone-free raised local chicken and you have to go buy one, you know, look for the words organic, hormone-free, pesticide-free, those type of things, because that's now not in that chicken that you're now going to ingest. So the best quality products is where it is. If they cost more, sometimes it's because it's worth it, and you'll feel the difference both ways. So
absolutely. You know, there is that old saying, you get what you pay for, right?
Exactly. And you are what you eat.
Very true. Very true.
So we got the chicken.
So speaking of chicken,
now this chicken, I said you could do it two ways. You could just take a chicken breast and do what in Italian terms would be called a paillard, which is basically a thin medallion that you're going to pound out. Salt and pepper, a little bit of regular olive oil, and then throw it on the grill. You could do it that way. And the recipe, I have what amounts to a breaded chicken, which you would normally do in chicken parmesan or something like that. But
how thick do you like to pound it out? So for folks, if they're going to
I get them pretty thin. I get them pretty thin because I want a quick sear on either side.
Okay.
I'll take a lobe or a breast, you know, one of the breasts of chicken, a lobe, which is kind of uneven, and I just did like 50 pounds of chicken 5 minutes ago before I got on the radio. But you take a lobe, and I'll cut it straight in half the long way. That means I have two flat pieces, and then I just pound that down where it doesn't tear, but you're probably under a quarter inch, and if you get it thinner, that's fine, but it doesn't tear. You don't want big tears in there. So as far as you could get it where it's going to be still one solid piece. So I'll get it down that thin. If I'm going to grill it, I'll grill it, you know, salt, pepper, and then the oil on top on the grill, and that's done. If I'm going to do it with the breadcrumb, I'll do a breadcrumb seasoning. So I'll do unseasoned breadcrumbs that I'll use from old bread if you can. If not, panko breadcrumbs work really well. I could tell you this recipe is old because I called it rind of one lemon. It's the zest of one lemon, two eggs, salt and pepper, olive oil, unsalted butter, parsley, and the juice of the lemon that you just zested. But I'll tell you this, what I like to do, another thing that I would add into this right now, what I like to do too is take, I have the Parmesan and the lemon zest, and then I would add even some more parsley into the breadcrumb mix, not just into the sauce that we're making, but so... Parmesan, lemon, breadcrumb, and the parsley, and then you blitz that into a Roboco or a blender or however you're going to blend it down. And Cuisinart would probably be the best thing. I don't know what the non-name brand of the blender at home would be. But so what I do with this is I also play with the ratios depending on how I want the chicken to taste. Sometimes I'll do almost as much cheese as I do breadcrumb and even extra parsley and a little more lemon zest. And then all of a sudden you have this kind of cheesy, lemony chicken that comes out of this.
Yum.
That's phenomenal. Now, the only concern, the more cheese you put in, and we'll talk about pan searing a chicken breast like this and not deep frying it, is shallow pan, you know, a saute pan with a small amount, just one level of olive oil so it coats the pan, and then you're going to sear it one side, flip it over, sear it in the other, and then pop it in the oven. But when you put more cheese, you have a chance of burning it more. So you got to be really, really careful. So that's something you play with as you get comfortable with the cooking technique.
So you got to work up to the cheese.
Work up to
so
the
if you for the first work yourself up to don't go cheese wild.
Yeah.
And go extra and, cheesy to start with, folks. You got to work up to the cheese.
it takes time to be as cheesy as me, man. That's all.
That's
I gotta
right.
say. I'm a professional cheese guy. No, but I think it's really important to know that, like, because I love it. I've actually done medallions of chicken with Romano cheese and almost no breadcrumb, just enough to hold it together, and in a more, what I call a champagne sauce, a simple champagne butter. But the idea is that when you sear it, the cheese gets a little bit of the crust, but it's so pronounced, it's like pow on your tongue. It's really wonderful. So you kind of play with that little blend. The way I have it here is more traditional, where it, you know, it's a cup of breadcrumb, and it's a little. I don't have cheese in there. I was looking at it. You could put maybe a quarter cup of Parmesan.
You have half a cup of Parmesan.
Where am I looking at? Oh my gosh, I can't even tell what I'm looking at sometimes.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, you're good. You're all over. Yeah, you have half a cup of Parmesan.
Oh, long day. Anyway, so but it's great. It's simple. So you're just searing off your chicken, right? And then you combine all your other stuff. You chop it up real fine and put it over the top, and it's absolutely incredible.
So what would you serve as a side with this? You know, could you put this on I'm thinking maybe a little bed of some type of pasta would be pretty good.
You
with
can,
the cheese and the olive oil.
It's been one of my wife's favorite dishes, and my mom she got me hooked on this when I was younger, because she originally made it for me. She's always served it just as is. It's the chicken and the salad. It's great for a light lunch or a brunch, or if you're doing an early dinner. I think the way it is perfect. You can do a pasta if you want, in our house, we would have a small pasta first course, and then we would have this as an entree, but never served together for some reason. It's never been something you need to serve with anything else.
When folks pound this out, it's going to be a pretty good sized piece of chicken.
Oh my gosh.
It's not going to be a nugget. Yeah.
No, you're talking about a big piece of chicken, and make sure that the garnish, quote unquote garnish salad, goes all over it. And you'll absolutely love it. And like I said, add a little bit of balsamic vinegar to this. Play with the flavors. Like you mentioned, get local stuff to put this together with, and you'll come up with some cool renditions. You could even put peppers in there if you got them locally. The onions, the shallots. Put some fresh herbs in your salad. Radicchio.
What's beautiful about this dish is, as you said, you know, as the different vegetables and herbs sort of come into season, go out of season, you can make this dish, you know, tonight, and then go to the farmer's market, you know, in a couple of weeks, and there'll be different fresh stuff, and it's the same process, the same guideline. You got a whole new dish.
Perfect.
You know, how great is that?
That's exactly it, man. I think you nailed it. I've actually done the salad, the chopped salad, over the top of fresh mozzarella, too.
That sounds really good. Hey, folks, head on down to your farmer's market. Tell them Chef Luca sent you. And if you want to check out more, go to chefluca.com, lucaparis.com. And don't forget to check out cardiochef.com as well. See what I'm up to and get the latest on the happenings. You are listening to Code Delicious with Dr. Mike on Radio MD.